Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful. Enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. So, Lord God, we invite your Spirit to be with us, to illuminate your word, so that we might hear clearly what you would have us to know and to do and to be, so that as we dwell together in community, we will show and illuminate your word and your love. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, the 4th through the 12th verses. I invite you to follow along in your own Bible or pew Bible as I read 1 Peter 2, 4 through 12, and may God bless the reading and hearing of His Word. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. We are about to get to the end of this journey of the ABCs and 1-2-3s of Christianity. We have one more week. I know some people can't say, how many more words could there be? Well, we have one more. There are plenty of more, but we decided we would stop while the getting was good. So we started off many weeks ago with, somebody knows, grace. Okay, the unmerited favor of God toward humanity. We started with grace and then moved to faith, belief that God is who God says He is and who Christ says He is. That faith. We have faith because God is faithful. We then moved to that another F word, which was forgiveness. We love to receive forgiveness, and most of us, we struggle with extending it. We're working on that one. Amen? Okay. And then we learned about the L word, love, and that God loves us with unconditional love, or agape, and then He commands us to love Him back that way, and that we are supposed to love our neighbors unconditionally. And we have struck that word out of our Bible and said, maybe. On a good day. We're still working on that one. Amen? And so last week we looked at the word salvation, that our salvation in Jesus Christ is comprehensive. There are so many ways that we're saved. Saved from our own sinfulness. We're saved from the fear of God, the fear of eternal damnation. We are saved from so many things because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. So today we're going to look at community. It could be a K word, not a C word, because the Greek word for this kind of community is koinonia. It is a intimate communion with other believers. That is the kind of relationship the early Christians had in that first century, was a koinonia. Now for us, who live in America, who love the fact that deep within our DNA is this rugged individualism. Right? I don't care what anybody does to me. You knock me down and I can pick myself up by my bootstraps and I'm going to take the next hill. I don't care how many Indians are on that hill. That's the way we've lived, isn't it? We want to be the Marlboro man without the cigarette. The rough guy. The individual. I can do it on my own. I need no one else to help me. That's one of the problems with men. For so long, we have wanted to go out and conquer the world, and we do it on our own, and we don't want to be in community. In the last century, which I was born in the middle of, when I was growing up, who were the Sunday school teachers? Women. I never had a man as a Sunday school teacher at all. They were all in the men's Sunday school class, being taught by a man who spoke and talked and lectured so that they wouldn't have to do anything. We didn't want to be a part of anything that expressed my feelings or what I believed or being held accountable. If I can just sit here and be quiet while somebody else is taking care of my children, and I can stay awake through the sermon, and I can get out of here and get back to work, that's all I need. Do I hear a good amen? Amen. I have been there. I've got the t-shirt. But that's not what God wants from us. He wants us to be in community, to live together, to rejoice together. It's all throughout the Bible. We see it in Genesis. Genesis 1 and 2, God creates Adam and Eve. And even when they fall in chapter 3 and they're hiding from God, they recognize God's in the garden. They hear Him walking in the garden. That's pretty good. You know people when you can tell by the way they walk. Oh, listen, the first service. My mother could tell the way I opened and shut the door. Usually it was quick and it was slam, and the next words out of her mouth, quit slamming the door. But she knew me. We were in great relationship with each other. When you're in relationship with each other and it's intimate and you know each other, you know what makes people happy. You know what pushes their buttons. Sometimes we push buttons of people whom we're in relationship with just so they'll know we still love them, right? I hope that's what they think. But we need to know one another in relationship. We even see that in Genesis 12 where God calls Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees and He says, you will be my people. I am calling your people and I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. And He chooses them. Not for favor, but to be a blessing to the world. And we see it throughout the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. When Jesus, He is a part of the Jewish community. It says numerous times in Luke, as was His custom to go to the synagogue, to be in community with other believers, to talk about things of theology, to talk about God, to talk about what it means to live in community. He also had the followers that followed Him. He had His 12 disciples. He had the inner group of Peter, James, and John. Even after His death and resurrection and ascension, it says in Acts, it talks about they remained together. It talks about they lived together. They loved one another. We see these words about how we're supposed to live and community. Because you see, there's something about living together in a church, in a faith community, that is different than any other place. The beauty of being a part of a faith community is that every big event in your life happens in and around the church. You're born and we celebrate together. Don't we? I don't know if we do this here. My wife hadn't had a baby since we've been here. But somewhere along the way, in my experience, we have a baby and all of a sudden, somebody from the church is bringing us some food. They celebrate with that. Next thing you know, we show up at church and there are people who are going to take care of our baby while we go to worship. Then we have a baptism, don't we? And we all get to celebrate together one another. And then we promise as a community of faith that we're going to love this child. We're going to be an example of Jesus Christ so that someday that child can profess with its own mouth that Jesus is Lord. Yes. We do that together. You got it.
Yes.
I got it. She's going to be the first to say amen after Gary. And so we do those things. We profess our faith in Christ. We come together and we're married together and we celebrate together. And when we have hard times, we do it together. When our loved ones pass away, we do it together. We celebrate the life of people together. And we get them through it together. Over 75 times we hear the words, one another, love one another, bear with one another's burdens. The only debt we should have to one another is that we will love one another. And the last thing we will never do, we're supposed to stop judging one another. That's a good one. But we do that together. Some of the most beautiful times in my life and in my ministry have been where I would walk into a hospital room and there would be another church member and they will be sitting next to a hospital bed with next to their friend, and there will not be a word being spoken. They'll just be there. The presence, the quiet presence of someone being there, you don't have to speak a word, but you know that there's deep love for each other. In that room, you can sense the presence of Christ. It's an unspeakable peace that comes over when the body of Christ is together. And one of the problems we have in our culture today is a lack of devotion to the community of faith. I wonder how many times when I was a kid, we wanted to give out perfect attendance for Sunday school. Y'all remember those? By the time our kids got to be old enough to be in there, they said, we changed it from perfect attendance to faithful attendance. Faithful attendance meant you could miss one Sunday a month. A quarter, excuse me. I stand corrected. The beauty of being in a family of faith, you hold each other accountable. So, but we seem to slack away from the things that are important because it's important for a community to be together, to love one another. And the strange thing is, we should, as a community of faith, this should be the place where we leave this place when we go to those other communities that we live in. If we live in an assisted living place or house or whatever, or we go to where we work or where we have fun together, we have recreation, wherever we do what we do, we're in other communities, and what should come from us but the love of God? We should be the ones who shine the light of Christ. We have to be dedicated to the community. You see, one of the things that happens anytime we walk in the door, there are people in here. You might not have a problem today, but you will one day. You see, when we walk in the door, we need to ask God to speak to us, to have eyes to see and ears to hear, into words to say on whatever is need to meet the needs of other people in the sanctuary. Because in this room today, there are people who are struggling. They might have a big smile on their face because that's the way we know them. But in the midst of the day, they might hurt. There's uncertainty. Maybe they need to hear someone say, I love you. Sit down next to them and say, I'm praying for you. Or better yet, let's pray together now. We need to be aware of those things that go on around us so that we might be the body of Christ to them. Because when we are that, the importance and the value of meeting together goes up. This past week, I got a phone call from a friend of mine who is a member at one of my former churches. He's just a normal, old, everyday guy. He owns a construction company. He is a general contractor. He builds homes for a living over in the Augusta area. And he called me to tell me about something that happened. Every morning he would go, gets up, and he goes to the two or three jobs that he's got going on. And this one day he stops at this job that's pretty close to being finished or within a month. And he's upstairs where the sheetrockers are hanging sheetrock. And he stops and he starts talking. And in the midst of this conversation, he said it was the weirdest thing that's ever happened. He said all of a sudden he felt and he heard God speaking to him to start praying for those people, those men in that room. And so his initial thought was, I got to remember, when I get in my car, I'll start praying for those guys on my way to the next job. And all of a sudden, he said, he had this bad feeling that was the wrong thought. That he had, God was saying to him, not in a few minutes, but out loud, now. And so he was kind of listening to this conversation, but he wasn't real sure. And then all of a sudden, one of the guys, the supervisor, he said, I'm going back downstairs. And as soon as the guy started walking back downstairs, he said that he got sick. That he had missed an opportunity that God told him to do, and he thought he had missed it. And he told the guy, I'll be right back. He goes downstairs and tells the man who had left, he says, I know this sounds crazy, but will you come back upstairs and let me pray with you? And all the guys, yeah. So they come back up, and he prays for them. He prays for the people they work for. He prays for each of those guys that God would bless them and their families, that God would be known in their life with the struggles they have. He prayed for the family who is going to live in that house eventually. Covered that whole little meeting with prayer, said amen and left. About an hour later, at another job, he saw the owner of the sheetrock company. And he walks up to him and said, I'm sorry, but you're probably going to hear I'm crazy for what I just did at the other job. I just prayed with everybody over there. And the owner said, it might have been the best thing you could ever do. Because one of those guys the day before had learned he had liver cancer. One of those guys, who's a young guy, he has off and on, has struggled with drug addiction, and we think he's fallen off the wagon. So he felt pretty good about himself, and so he went on about his day, and the next day he sees the father of one of those men, young men, there somewhere, and the father walks up to him and says, I want to thank you. He said, my wife and I have been praying for my son for months because he quit going to church, and then he started hanging around with some wrong people. He's been rude. He's done things and treated us badly. And the other day, he came home and asked us to forgive him. That he had told us about you praying with them. And he said, I know that I have done wrong. I will be back in church Sunday. And the father said, we have been praying that God would put somebody in his life to straighten him out. And so he said, thank you. And I thought to myself when he was telling me this story, wouldn't that be wonderful if that's the way we as the body of Christ would do within this community? That when we see people who aren't here anymore, that have quit coming, that we would call them, pray for them, that we would openly seek them out. Because I will tell you, as every one of you will know, if you live long enough, there will be a day that ends in Y, and the only people that have an answer, remotely have an answer, will be the people of God. And the sad part about it is, there are more people out there who don't know the answer than are in here. If the community of God has meant anything to you in your life, and has made a difference in your life, shouldn't we be about sharing the power of community with the world? Shouldn't we? We should. Because every day that ended in Y for me, the church has been there. And it has been possible for me to face the next day because of the body of Christ. That's what we're called to do. To be people of community. To share the good news. To encourage one another. And to be encouraged. To love and to be loved. To forgive and be forgiven. To be accountable to and hold, be held accountable. When someone joins the church, they are asking to be a part of our lives, and we are saying, giving them permission to be a part of our life. Everyone who comes down to the and joins the church, we say, we want to live life together. Do we? God knows He wants us to. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, for the community of faith, for the body of Christ, for small groups and Sunday school classes, for accountability groups, for dear friends, for those who we are, the groups that we are part of and the communities that we are part of, we are grateful. Because, Lord, we know that in community we can be Christ to others. And others can be Christ to us. That if we want to grow in grace and faith, we do it in community. If we want to be more like You, we do it in community. If we want to be held accountable, we will do it in community. So, Father, may we all be committed to community. We ask this prayer in the name of Your Son, Jesus, who taught His disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.